I'm not going to be long at all. I just want to encourage you to stay in the Spirit of our Lord, for He has truly come to interact with us, to infuse His empowerment into who we are, to help us envision who He has called us to become, and to give us the courage, make us courageous to go and possess the promised land that He has given us right here in this county, in this town. So I just want to encourage all of us, let us be on a lookout tonight, for God is about to do something mighty. He is about to empower us and take us to the new level of 2013. Whew. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited. And as soon as I came, the prophetic lead had a picture, and I do want her to give us an idea of what are we up to tonight.
Well, as we began worship, I saw the Lord rolling out a red carpet, and I know that He was rolling it out for our guests and our guest speaker. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord is going to bring to us through Him.
Be encouraged to listen to the Lord. We do have a prophetic lead. Peggy is sitting right here. So if the Lord speaks to you, by all means, bring it in. It's not quite the encounter service that we're familiar with, but it's close to that. So... we would continue to worship a little bit longer, and then Jeff will come and actually introduce our guests, because this ministry tonight is being put by the healing ministry at our Father's house, and so I'd like for Jeff in a little bit to introduce our guests.
Let's just go back into that for just a moment.
Turnout, and I'm so excited that everybody's here tonight, and we're blessed to have our guests here with us. Many of you probably know Pastor Jeff. He's a longtime friend of Lanny. We're blessed to have Mrs. Rogers here with us tonight as well. Some of us may have been around long enough to remember the big pig and picnic we all did together several years ago. This is a man who's near and dear to Lanny's heart, and I've spent time with him myself, and really blessed and honored to have him here. You know, in the body, it's all about relationship. Our relationship to the Lord, our relationship to each other. And tonight is a meeting that's born out of relationship. And so we're very thankful to have Pastor Jeff and Pete here with us tonight as well. So without further ado, Pastor Jeff, you want to come on up?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. To give God glory and praise and honor because He's worthy. Amen. Amen. I am very thankful to the pastors that allowed me to come down here. I first began speaking with Pastor Lanny, who later put me in touch to the executive pastor, Svetlana, and ultimately Jay, because... I know that this house is all about walking in the integrity and wisdom and power of God. Because your pastor is about the things that are real. So much so that you guys went through a name change not too long ago to reflect the reality of relationship with God. Because that has to be real. Amen? So that everyone understand, this isn't just about being a churchy church type of an organization. These are sons in the Father's house. Amen? You're not orphans. You do have a father. You have an inheritance. And there is an understanding that each one of you are growing in understanding to move in a place of power in the earth, based on your relationship with your father. And I wanted to help you with that because of something that I personally experienced in my own relationship with God and being challenged somewhat. Beginning back in January, the Lord began speaking to me about love in a way that I had not really known. And rather than to spend a lot of time talking about that, this understanding about love brought me to a place of really looking at my life, looking at how I understood love, looking at how I release love to other people, and am I really becoming the son that God has called me to in walking not just in wisdom, but in power. And I got provoked, really provoked, about being a man of God in ministry or just having a life that reflected my relationship with God all the time. And so that led me to just simply seeing somebody that was walking everyday life, ministering the love of God, not trying to minister the love of God by punching a clock every day, but just by being himself. Just by being himself, and by virtue of his life and his relationship with God, ministry just flowed. Not because he intended it or purposed it to flow, it just flowed naturally out of just being himself. So it provoked me, and I wanted to get in touch with this brother, and that's what's kind of led us to this day. I met Pete Cabrera about 6 months ago and developed a relationship with him because I felt that my life, a long time ago, I would see people in everyday circumstances that I would communicate with, have an encounter with God, and then I kind of backed away from it, and I started becoming more theological. But when I saw Pete's ministry, I said, wow, it looks like I traded power for theology, and I needed to get back to power. Amen? So, it led me to Pete, and we began to develop a relationship. And I said, as I'm growing in this relationship, I want all my brothers that I'm very close to get to know this man of God. So, of course, that led me to call you-know-who, Lanny. So that's what led us here today, because I felt that this was a quality relationship with a man that could help all of us to understand how that as sons, it's not enough just to walk in the understanding and the wisdom of the Word of God, but that people need to actually experience the reality of Jesus in our everyday circumstance and be touched by the power that naturally flows out of us, and that we're not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're ready to flow in it all the time, and it never cuts off. Amen? So here's somebody today that I believe can help all of us with that, so that we are truly manifesting the glory of the Son in each one of us as we are called to be sons of God. Not just sons of God with great words, but sons of God in power. Amen? That's what today is about. So without any further ado, there's going to be a little further ado. I'm going to ask Tim to come forward, and then the next person that's going to come take the mic will be my friend, Pete Cabrera.
I don't know why Jeff is so reluctant to take up a love offering, but maybe he feels he doesn't know us as well as I do. So as we always do here, we honor those who come and minister to us, and we bless them with our gifts. The word says, come on up here, guys. The word says to honor those who labor in the word, and they are worthy of double honor and double blessings. So I'm going to pray right now and just ask the Lord how you would be led to help support this ministry and this brother who has come down to share with us. Father God, we just lift up these gifts to you, and we pray that it would further the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world, that the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through these gifts and to help set people free. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Without further ado, Brother Pete, why don't you come on up and take it from here.
Good to see you, man.
Wow. Oh, stop it. Oh, wow. Well, oh, come on, guys. Don't do that. Don't do that. Thank you. You may be seated in heavenly places. Oh, man. Whew. I'm just so overwhelmed. You know, when I was growing up, my father died when I was 7 years old. And I never really knew him. So my whole life was a wreck after that. And so when I came to Christ, I didn't know how to read, you know, because I was mentally messed up. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and then I'll finish off. Father, you're just amazing. You're amazing. There ain't nothing else to say. You're just amazing. Thank you, Father. I cry because this is the cry of the Father. We don't know who we are, and it breaks my heart when I come in here and I know who you are, and I know what you can do, and I know that what is in us, nothing can snuff out. And so I just stand here, and I'm like, Lord, what can I tell them? What can I say to them? What can I show them? You know? And so when I'm crying, it's for you, it's not for me. Because I know what I can do in Christ, and I know what I've been doing, and I know that it works, but it's like, how can you get this? How can I get you to understand what I'm gonna talk about right now? That's what I'm worried about. That I leave here and nothing changes. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to let you know that I'm not some guy that wants to be honored. I'm not some guy that wants to be this great evangelist. I'm not this guy that wants to be recognized. I want you to be recognized. I want you to receive the honor that Jesus has paid for, that's given you. And that's why I'm here. This, everything that I say, just remember that I have you in mind, okay? I don't have me in mind. I have you in mind, who you are, what you can do, okay? Please don't make this about me. Don't make this about where I've been. Because I'm just a shadow of what's in you. Like, I'm nothing. My ceiling should be your floor, honestly. When you leave here, you should be doing more things than what I've been doing. Because I come with the same spirit that you have. I come with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I come with the very same things that Christ had himself. And you have them too. Okay? I was here in Washington, and I don't even know where I'm at. We went and ministered today, and we were on the streets, and, you know, there was drug dealers, and guys are just, they're just living life, and I just kept looking at them like, if only they knew how much I love them. If only they knew, like, how I'm feeling for them right now. If only they understood, like, what I feel for them. And so we started praying for people, and they didn't want it, you know. They didn't understand why this Hispanic was praying in a black neighborhood, you know. But I want you to know that everything that you need, you have inside of you. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. When you die and you stand before Jesus, you will never be able to tell him that, Jesus, you didn't give me what I needed. And I know we get into, you know, whether we have a gift and things like that. And I'll get into that here in a little bit. I want to clear a lot of things up because I want you to leave today knowing that you're empowered, knowing that you have dominion over the enemy, knowing that your words have life, knowing that your life can reflect a king, knowing that you're royalty, knowing that when your friends see you and your family see you, that they see beyond you and they can see what's been invested in you because it's everywhere. Where you walk, who you talk to, where you stand, what you see, everything about you is royalty. Everything about you is amazing. Everything about you has been paid for with the blood of Christ. That's amazing. And the beautiful thing is you didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. So I want to remove all the pressure of you performing. I want to remove all the pressure that comes with being a Christian. There is no pressure. There's just accepting who you are. You've been created in likeness of Christ. You, in fact, you don't even exist anymore. You have a new seed. In 1 John chapter 3, it says that you have an uncorruptible seed. You know what uncorruptible means? It means you can't taint that. You can't destroy that. You can't erase that. You can't mess with that. You can't even touch that. That's what that means. And for you young guys, man, we were talking upstairs. I said, when Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, she was only 13 years old. How old are you? 15. You're 2 years older than her. That means that Joseph was just as young. That means that the disciples were just as young. Peter was the only one that asked Jesus about taxes. And you had to, according to Roman law, you had to be 21 to pay your taxes. And he's the only one that asked. And I think he's the only one that was married as well. So we know that the oldest one was Peter. Because he actually picked Peter out of all of them because he was the oldest one. So it was kind of like, because he's the oldest, more responsibility was on him. You know? And so you have these disciples. They're teenagers. Wrap your mind around that. We know that because Jesus was 32, and, you know, he went to the school of Torah, you know, the word, you know, the Old Testament, they studied the Torah. You know, in fact, when you were 6 years old, that's when you started learning your word. And what they did is they put honey on the scrolls, and they told the six-year-old, hey, this is the word of God. It's honey to your soul. And they would lick it off the tablets, you know, off the scrolls. And that's how they introduced the word of God to these little kids. And by the age of 10, they had the first books of Moses memorized. And by the age of 14, they had all of it memorized. Did you guys know that? Did you know at the age of 12, it was Beth Sefer, which was the art of questioning. And Jesus was 12 years old, and he was in the synagogue, and they were asking him questions. Do you guys remember that? When they went for the Passover and they were gone, they realized Jesus wasn't with them. And it says that he was in the temple and he was asking questions. That's the level that he was in. He was in the art of questioning. At the age of 12, that's what you had to do. And so here's Jesus, you know, in the art of questioning at age 12. You know. And so we know that at the age of 14, what ends up happening is you go and you find a rabbi. And you got to remember that these rabbis that were teaching the word of God, people would follow them around. Those were their heroes of the day because everybody was so in love with the Word of God that anybody that had to do with the Word of God was like this mighty man. And they were so in love with God that the men that preached the gospel or the Pharisees, like, they would follow them and chase them. And they're like, that's what I want to be. I want to be a man of God. And so at the age of 14, you have it all memorized and you go and you follow a teacher, a rabbi. You go find a rabbi. And it's funny because he'd have all these kids chasing the rabbi, and the rabbi would find the best at all of them. He'd say, okay, and he'd do the art of questioning and see who was the best of the best. And then he'd be the one he would pick, and he'd say, okay. And that's why they have the saying that may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. That's because it would follow him, you know. And so what ended up happening was he'd pick the best of the best, and then he'd say, okay, take my yoke upon me, you know, take my yoke upon you. That's why Jesus said that. He said, take my yoke, it's light. So Jesus didn't come up with this stuff. This stuff was already there. He was just doing it according to the law. He did everything they did. So then they would pick the best of the best, and then the rabbi would say, follow me. The rabbi would say that, follow me. And so they follow the rabbi, and the rabbi would pour his whole life into his disciple, into the student. And then he'd say, you can do the things I do, and things greater. Jesus didn't come up with that. The rabbis said that. So now, if they weren't good enough, he would say, well, go home and learn a trade, because he couldn't be a rabbi, so he had to go home, because not everybody was good enough. But that was the dream of every little boy. They wanted to be these men of God because they were in love with the Word. So this is why when we see Jesus, and this is what's really crazy, and I'm tying this up on this end for the youth. Jesus went, and what did he say? He said, follow me, and they casted they dropped their nets, and immediately they followed Jesus. I always thought, why would they drop their nets? Why would they do that? They didn't even know this man. No, but they knew he was a rabbi, and they knew that they weren't good enough. But now they were. And so that was like a lot of pride there. Like, oh, my son is following a rabbi, a teacher. So this is what was going on. And the cool thing about it was Jesus was picking the worst. He wasn't picking the best. He was picking the worst. He picked the thief. He picked the tax collector. He picked the worst of the worst. Totally opposite of the teachers of the time. That's how much faith Jesus had in who he was. He said, I didn't take anybody. Anybody. And it's cool because Judas, he gives him the money back. He knows he's a thief and gives it to him and has him in charge of it. And he knows that. Come on, he's Jesus. And so he takes these kids, and they're basically teenagers, guys. They're young. And so Jesus is teaching them. He's saying, you know, hey, you know, you've heard this, but I say this, you know. So I want to take that and kind of explain why it is that we as disciples, like what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Knowing that, it kind of paints a picture for you of what it really means. See, we see it one way, because we're here in the United States and we have a different culture. But Israel, and you're a disciple, you're a disciple. So I want to just paint a picture of what a disciple really means, like what it means to follow Christ. So they started at age 6, 12, 14. They went all the way through their whole life, and then now they're with the teacher, and the teacher's teaching them. Peter walks on water, and I hear a lot of teachings on this. You know, he gets on the water, and he says, you know, hey, Jesus, that's you, call me. And he says, come on, and he walks on water. Why do you think Peter walked on water? Because he understood that you're my rabbi. The things you do, I can do. No faith at all. No faith at all. We have to muster a faith, though. No, if you understood what it meant to be a disciple, you wouldn't even question. He'd walk on water, you'd say, this is why when they were healing the sick, they never argued with Jesus. Who argued with him? Nobody did. Why? Because he was a teacher. And so you have these disciples following Jesus for 3 years. He's healing everybody, all forms of sickness and disease. So it's nothing new for the disciples. I mean, they had gone through it before, right? Since the age of 6, 12, 14. So they knew the deal. So basically what they were doing was they were honoring their teacher. Because when the teacher tells you to do something, you do it. Right? Here's the problem we have. When Peter went up to Jesus and he said, hey, you know, I got to pay my taxes, Jesus said, all right, I want you to go over here and catch a fish, and in its mouth, there'll be a gold coin in there. You guys know what I'm talking about? And he went and did it. If it was us, this is what would happen. Jesus, I need to pay my taxes. Well, you know, go to this river over here, throw in the line, catch a fish. You'd be like, all right, what kind of fishing pole should I use? Worm? What kind of bait? What side of the bank? Should I get in the water? How long am I going to be there? Can I take a friend? Can I eat the fish? Does that make sense? That's what we do when we see somebody who's sick. Like, okay, pray for this guy. But what if he's not a good person? What if God's teaching them something? What if it's not God's will? What if I look stupid? What if Jesus would have got mad if we'd have done that? Because he was the teacher. And you don't question the teacher, right? So this is what I want to get at. I'm just laying a foundation because there's so much. Like if I sat with you for 30 minutes and just talk with you, you go crazy. Because I'm going to talk about things you've never heard. But I'm going to show it to you. And it's really going to radically challenge your mind. Because what is in you is Christ. There's no way around that. Watch. In the Old Testament, I'm just laying the groundwork, and I'm going to do what I was, because I want to get you ready for what I'm going to show you. In the Old Testament, in the Ark Covenant, when they had the Ark Covenant, you couldn't touch it. Right? Why couldn't you touch it? Why was it holy? God's presence lived in there, right? So if you touched it, even if you didn't mean, what would happen? Why? Why? Because why? Don't speak up. Why? Okay. Because of sin. This is going to wreck you. Where's the Holy Spirit live now? Why ain't you dead? Because you're holy. Whether you like it or not. You know why? Because you didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. In fact, it says that sinners will never inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. How many in here are still a sinner? You'll never get in, according to that scripture. Now, I'm not saying there's not sin. In order for us to function in the kingdom of God, we have to know who we are. Not what we do, but by nature who we are. Does this make sense? You have a new nature. Is just like Christ. Did Christ struggle with sin? Why not? Because he didn't have a sin nature. He got tempted, but he didn't struggle with sin. How many people in here struggle with sin? Who's in you? Does he struggle with sin? Who are you hidden in? Jesus didn't struggle with sin. Why do you? I'm not saying go do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. There's a responsibility. It says, little children, this I write to you that you do not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Okay? In fact, when you understand who you are in Christ, you'll do more on accident than you would on purpose. Because it'll flow out of who you are, not based on what you do. Okay? I don't want to teach behavior modification. I want to teach Jesus manifested in you. Okay? I can coach you. I can teach you to do a lot of things. But we don't live in the carnal. We live in the spiritual realm. We're spirit first. You are a spirit that lives in a body that has a mind. You are not a mind that lives in a body that has a spirit. You are a spirit first. Okay? If you take a butterfly, let me put it this way. If you take a caterpillar and you take it to the scientists and you tell them, run every test you can on that caterpillar and tell me what you find. Every single time they'll come back and tell you, it's a butterfly. Because that's what it is. Now, even though it doesn't reflect the nature of a butterfly, it's what it is. Because in time, it will reflect a butterfly. This is what I'm getting at. By nature, the caterpillar is a butterfly. Okay? By nature, you are sons of God because you've given your life to Christ. You now have a new nature. You're now dead to the old. All things have passed. All things have become new. What's this new stuff we're talking about? It's the Christ in you. So I just want to knock that down real quick, okay? Because I need to let you know that before you can function like Christ, you have to actually believe that he's in you. And this is where it all comes from. This is why you can walk down the street and just love people. Because it's no longer I who lives in me. Oh, but I got to muster. You don't got to muster anything up. You just have to know who you are. If you were a millionaire, would you ever steal? If you were righteous, would you ever sin? You like that? Of course you wouldn't steal. I'm just laying a foundation, guys. I know this sounds radical, but this is who you are. I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm telling you what's inside you, what's been invested in you. One more thing, and then I'll go to what I'm going to teach. And this is, I like to talk to the youth. Why are you a sinner? What did you do to become a sinner? You were born a sinner. Adam did that to you. You did not do that to you. Adam did that to you. Adam made you a sinner. You didn't make yourself a sinner. In fact, you had no choice in the matter or say. Is that correct? Okay. So if sin is what you do, it's also what you don't do. I want to hit on this for a reason, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. If you don't love, you're in sin. There's no gray area with God. Is this right? Sin is sin. So if you see a sign that says there's don't litter and you see litter on the floor and you walk by it, according to the law, it's sin. This is what I'm getting at. You can't be a sinner and a saint at the same time. It's impossible. So I'm here to draw the line today. What are you? To the saints of Ephesus, or did he say to the sinners? What saints mean? What saints mean, Pastor? Holy. Set apart. I'm just knocking this stuff down because I want you to leave out of here saying, there's nothing that's going to stop me. There's no sin in the world that can stop me. You know why? Because if that was the case, you could never get saved. Okay? In fact, sin lost its power. Sin has no power over you anymore. We don't have a sin issue. We have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. If we don't know who we are, the enemy can convince us of who we're not. Oh. If the enemy can convince you If you're not convinced of who you are, the enemy can convince you of who you're not. Let me give you an example. Jesus, he's fasting 40 days, 40 nights. Satan comes, looks at Jesus right in the face and says, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. He knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Here's the key. Turning the stone into bread wouldn't have made Jesus fall. It would have been questioning who he was. Who are you? I don't know. There you go. You shouldn't be backsliding. You should be front sliding. Like Superman. We don't talk about this stuff. You have to have a clear conscience and a pure heart to pull off what Christ is calling you to do. If you condemn yourself, if you're being condemned, you really don't understand what's happened to you. Everything's been erased from you. You've been sanctified. You've been perfected. You've been made holy. You've been made righteous. In fact, Jesus even sat you next to him in heavenly places with him. In fact, he even says that. You are just like Jesus is in this world. In fact, you have the mind of Christ. And you're like, but I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ. That's why you're not a feeler, you're a believer. I don't feel holy. You are holy. In fact, when you wash Peter's feet, Peter said, don't just wash my feet, wash me. He says, my words make you clean. So I just kind of want to knock that out. We don't talk about this stuff. Right? Like we really think we need gifts. And the Bible talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians. You guys know what I'm talking about. Right? Pastor Jeff, I know you love this, man. This part in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when he says, Paul tells the Corinthians church, he says, I can't give you meat. I can only give you milk. In fact, I can only give you milk. So all of 1 Corinthians is baby talk. But they're doing miracles. How many here's a baby in Christ? What's going on? It also says that, you know, you shouldn't have anything to do with this and that and run from it. None, they're babies. They don't understand. See, back when I was a crack addict, when I first got saved, I couldn't go into a crack house and minister. And now I can because I'm mature now. I know what's in me. But he's in there and he's telling them, you know, some have been given this, some have been given that. And he says to eagerly to ask for the greater gifts. So there's greater gifts than healing. Ain't that cool? I'm just knocking stuff down. Do you need a gift of healing? Okay, let me put it to you this way. When the disciples were doing miracles, there wasn't Pentecost yet, so there wasn't any gifts yet. So how were they doing miracles? Well, Jesus breathed on them. Okay. Well, what about the ones that were casting devils out in his name and didn't follow him? What happened to them? Where'd they get their anointing from? They didn't even follow Jesus. They weren't followers of Christ, and they were doing miracles, and Jesus said, leave them alone. They can't say nothing bad about me. So how'd they do that? Did Jesus magically hid gifts? No, the gifts hadn't even been given yet. Jesus was doing miracles, and he hadn't even been whipped yet. Imagine, be healed, but you ain't been whipped yet. I'm good for it. That's like credit. Look, you're healed, but you're back. Don't worry about that. I'll handle that later. His word's been lifted up above his name. Like what he says goes, and that's it. You can't change it. It's funny because we as believers, sometimes we become believers and we just want to make things go our way. And we're like, you know what? I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. This is stuff that I'm knocking down. And the disciples weren't even saved when they were doing miracles. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. They had everything against them, and they were doing miracles. And we have everything. We even have it written down. And we can't do nothing. What's going on? We're in a worse position than they were. We have everything we need. The Spirit didn't even live in them yet. Lord, Father, help me. Why don't we think about this stuff? Because sometimes we just accept things as fact, and it ain't even true. We are now translated into the kingdom of God. You didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. Brooke's not here, but he's here. My friend Brooke says that. Oh, I love Brooke, man. He's not here. Let me give you an example. You know, Jesus, when he taught to fishermen and farmers. You know who was it that didn't get it? The Pharisees. Have you noticed I haven't opened my Bible yet? I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm acting like I'm talking to farmers and fishermen because I want you to get this. Not that you are. Because I want to say it in such a simple form that you can't leave saying, I didn't understand what he's saying. Because the gospel's so simple. You could be on a bus and give somebody the gospel. That's how simple it is. Paul said, you know, I choose to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. That's good enough for me. I just don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. That's why Jesus came, because you don't know what you're doing. But Lord, I'm not good enough. I know you're not good enough. But I'm in you, and now you're perfect. Now you can do all the things that I said you could do. Why? Because I live in you. Let's say there's two rooms. Well, we'll say this room here. Okay, on this side. Okay, this is on the left side. And this is a, have you guys ever seen Hoarders? Yeah? Okay, this is the hoarder room. Dirty, filthy. And this is like really clean, white, beautiful, spotless. And this is the junk room. And you have both these rooms. When trash comes your way, which room do you put it in? In the junk room. Why? Because it doesn't belong there. It belongs in the junk room. Okay? And even though you're in the process of cleaning the junk room, when trash comes, it still goes in the junk room. When you were born again, you went from this room to this room. When sin comes your way, it don't belong here. Comes at you. Why? Because you've been swept clean. And you didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. So you're not going to dirty anything. You can't. Okay. Why am I telling you this? Because we have believers that live here and they're children of light. The enemy's giving it to me. No, he's not. You just don't know who you are. You got to blame somebody. Doesn't the Bible say that we do not fight against flesh and blood? How many in here fighting themselves? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying so hard. Oh, I can't help it. That's not the battle. The battle is the lie. If lie is what imprisons you, then it's the truth that sets you free. I just want you to know what Jesus did to you. He translated you from there to here. You've been evicted. We have a lot of people. I mean, imagine a zombie and you're fighting with it all day long. That's what happens with Christians. We kill our old selves and then we fight with a zombie. Oh, I just don't know my own. He's buried. Leave him in the ground. And so we got Christians walking around. You're dead. Leave him alone. This is you now. You even have a new name. Saul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he called him Paul after that. When you're a Jew and your name means something, Jesus basically told him, your name and you don't mean nothing. You're something new now. You ain't even who you thought you were. You're Paul now. And he's like, wow, I really am different. That's you. Okay. Did I knock some things down? Does it sound like the gospel? If the gospel doesn't lead you to Jesus and who you are in him, it's not the gospel. Okay? It's all about Jesus. You don't believe me? Ask him. He'll tell you. Yep. I wrote this stuff down on my phone. My wife, I miss her. Man, when you fall in love with Jesus, it's all over. Do you guys know where Jesus was when he was in the tomb? Does anybody know? Has anybody ever done that teaching? Anybody even looked that up? Have you ever looked that up? Where was Jesus at when he was in the tomb? Do you guys know? Where'd he go? Yeah? Where'd he go? Down there? To hell. Whew. Let's go to Luke 16, please, guys. You don't have to stand up because you already stood up. Yeah, okay. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing. I love Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 19. So I'm going to read this really quick. Okay? There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and right? And fared sumptuously every day. Or what was that? Yeah. And there were certain beggars named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. That's funny because an angel had to carry him because the Spirit of God didn't live in him yet. Ain't that cool? We don't ever think about that. Why did the angel carry him? Well, the Spirit of God didn't live in him yet. Ain't that cool? So anyways, just a quick, you know, anyways. Okay. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by an angel into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. And being in torment, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all these between us, there is a great gulf fixed between us, so that I cannot pass from here and I cannot pass from there. So there's this picture of Hades, and on the other side is what? Paradise. There's two things. It's like there's this big hole right here, you know, and they can't cross. Pretty cool. Just wanted to touch on that real quick. All right. Let's go to Luke 23. I just want to knock these out, and then I'll lay them out for you. And there's a reason that I'm sharing this with you, because I want you to understand what Jesus did. Okay, and that's Luke 23:39. Ready? All right. And on one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, which means he was on the cross, said, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, which means, you know, they deserve what they're getting. For we receive due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing. This is like when they're on the cross. You got the thieves on the cross. Right? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom, to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that today thou shalt be with me in. Okay. So Jesus didn't go to heaven right when he died. Okay? I'm going to explain all this to you. In fact, I think I'll explain it right now before I go any further. Okay, according to the law, if you died on the tree, you were cursed, right? And how many people know that when Jesus was ministering, before he died, he was ministering under the law? It wasn't the new law until he died. So the New Testament doesn't actually start until he dies. So, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's all Old Testament, but it's New Testament. It's like transitioning. It's like getting you ready. Okay? So some of the things Jesus said, he was speaking under the law. Okay? Sometimes we kind of get confused. Well, Jesus said that. Yeah, but he was under the law and he couldn't say what he had to say. You know, he had to say this. Like he says, if I say even look at a girl in lust, sin. Right? He's saying that to the people under the law. But anyways, we'll keep going. So here's what happens, which you're not supposed to do that anyway. Don't. I'm not saying it's okay. Okay. So Jesus takes the sins of the whole world and he gets nailed to the cross. And so there's only one place he can go because according to the law, he died according to the law. Everyone that dies on the tree is cursed. And when you're cursed, where do you go? Hades. Hell, whatever. Yeah. So that's where he went. And then it says that death couldn't hold him. Death usually is capitalized, which means it's an angel, the angel of death. That's why the Bible says that you will not taste death. But we're all going to die. Yeah, well, death is a spirit that takes you to hell. The wages of sin is? Yeah, okay. So it's the same death, right? So it says it couldn't hold him. So he goes down there. And then there's this other side. And I'm going to get to that. There's a reason I'm saying all this, guys. Because I have you in mind when I'm saying this. All right, here we go. And then we have Acts 2. Does this make sense? Okay. 227. This is Daniel, and he's actually speaking. This is prophetic. So this is basically, well, I just read it. Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. This is basically talking about when he actually goes to hell. Just wanted to read that. Okay. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:18. This is so cool. I love this verse. It says this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, and just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I love this. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That makes me want to cry right there. Because even people who were in hell, Jesus loved them so much, he went and preached to them. If that doesn't mess you up. He didn't want people to go to hell. But there's still people in hell. And he's like ministering to them. That's the God we serve, man. Even in, like, there's no hope for them. But he still goes there. I'm already here? Hey. That wrecks me. Anyways. Ephesians 4, 8 and 9. I'm going to read all these and then I'm going to tell the story how I perceive it, okay? Ephesians Ephesians 4, 8, and 9. It says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I want you to remember that, okay? And then we'll do Matthew 27, and then we'll break it down real quick. Guys, the gospel's simple. And it's fun. You know it's fun? You know why it's fun? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If the enemy can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. Woo! You ain't going to touch me, devil. Yeah. I want to read this real quick. It's cool because, and before I read that, let me just jump on this real quick. So here's what happens. He's on the cross. He has sin. He traps it in the flesh. It's really cool. He takes all the sins of mankind, goes to Hades, right? And he's like, shrugs him off. He's like, I'm going to go over here real quick. Paradise. Why? Because the thief's waiting on me. So he goes over there. Thief shows up. Hey, what's cracking? They're hugging. Woo, big old party going on. Why? Because the righteous dead is there. For all you know, the righteous dead is. The righteous dead are all the people, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, you know, all the people from the Old Testament that didn't have the Holy Spirit, so they couldn't go to heaven. They're in paradise because they don't have legal right to go to the throne yet because there hasn't been a sacrifice for sin, so they're just kind of just chilling. Kind of just sitting there waiting on Jesus to come. That's crazy. We don't ever teach that. So we're just sitting there. And so here comes the Messiah. And they're like, woo, we're out of here. Where are we going? You know where we're going. We knew for thousands of years. We've been just here, and now he's here, and we're out of here. It's cool because the thief didn't even really get to hang out that long. He's kind of like, woo, we made it. He's like, no. We're still going somewhere else. What? You guys are messing me up. I'm a thief here. What do I know? I don't know anything about what you guys are talking about. You know what's crazy? We don't even know if that thief was a Jew or not. Anyways. I guess we'll ask him when we see him. Then he'll be like, there is no race or creed here. Wow. Okay, Matthew 27. 27:52. Here it is. This is so crazy, right? Because Jesus doesn't go right up to heaven. He makes a pit stop. 27:52. He makes a pit stop. You guys remember where he goes before he goes up? Yeah, but who did he talk to at the grave, at the tomb? You guys remember who he talked to at the tomb? Huh? Isn't that crazy? He talked to a young lady. Anyways, this is what happens. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after this. After his resurrection. So here's what happened. Jesus goes up. Who was it? Mary at the tomb? He's like, don't touch me. I'm still going to the Father. Did you know in the Old Testament that before a high priest could go in, he couldn't be touched? That's crazy. She's like, don't touch me. Don't do that. So he goes up to her, and he sees her, and he's on his way up. After his resurrection, like, the people went up with him. These are the people they're talking about. They got up out of the grave, and they were, like, gone. Yeah. That's crazy. We'll never talk about this stuff. Okay, so we'll go to, and this is the Colossians 5:8. I'm going to tell the story. I just want to go through these because I know how I get when I tell stories.
It was in Colossians 5:8. Did I say Colossians 5:8? There's no Colossians 5:8. It's 2:15. Colossians 2:15. I'm sorry. This is so cool right here. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it. I want to talk about that because one of my friends did a pretty good study on this. And there's a word in there that's called apekduomai. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? There's a word that's apekduomai. It's in a Roman text. It's a Roman word in a Greek text. You guys know what that means? That's like if you're reading a Spanish book and in it there's a word in Chinese. You're like, why is that in there? That don't make no sense. This is written in Greek and there's a word apekduomai that's in this verse. And it's a Roman word. Do your homework on it. It'll mess you up. This is what apekduomai means. During Pearl Harbor, you know, we won, you know, obviously. But one of the generals there studied Roman war, and he said he was going to have apekduomai. Actually, they televised it. It was the, you know, the guy on that side and him, and they did this whole thing openly, you know. So what an apekduomai is, according to Romans, an apekduomai is when we're in battle, your soldiers against my soldiers, you know, general against general, and we win. I say, hey, you know, we didn't just win. We're going to show people we won. So we do an apekduomai. We set a table out. You stand on that side. I stand on this side. I sign papers over. You sign papers. And what ends up happening is I say, okay, you used to have power over this. Not anymore. And they would sign it. And they would do that in front of everybody. And then this dude would rip the medals off of him in front of everybody. Like, humiliate him. That's what apekduomai is. It's like, you got your generals, I got mine, and we're just going to basically make you look stupid in front of everybody. That's what apekduomai is. And that's what Jesus did. He did that to Satan. Why? Because the angels had to know, like, where the authority would lie forever. And so in heaven, you have Satan looking like a fool. And he's like, man. And the angels are like, dude, you got punked. And I always tell people, I can imagine in heaven, like, they got the TV cameras. And, like, Jesus just socks him. Bam! And they're like, and for eternity, they got this reel playing over and over. You know? Satan shows up, and he's like, oh, wait, hold up. Let me show you something. What were you saying again? Hold up, wait, let's see this again. And Satan's like, man. Satan, hey, come on, man. Satan shows up and he's like, dude, hold up, man. Do you remember back? Okay, hold up. Just in case you forgot, do you remember what happened? When Jesus clowned you in front of everybody? Like, you ain't lying to me, man. You got no power. In fact, he stripped you of all power. In fact, you're under my... Where you at? Oh, yeah, there you are. Okay, Ephesians. What is it? 2:6. I love this verse. You ready? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And then we'll go to Colossians 1:27. And then, yeah. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mysteries among the Gentiles, which is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, let me tie this in. Everything I just told you lives in you. Everything that happened from the point of the cross. In fact, when you died with Christ. Did you know that? Your body, your life was dead on the cross. You died and rose with Christ. So from that point on, everything Christ did is in you. So when the enemy comes, that's what's in you. All that we just read is inside of you. Full, powerful. The enemy comes, you know who you are? You tell him to shut up. Shut your mouth. Why? You know what happened? You want to lose another one? Want to lose another tooth? I always say, Satan's got three teeth, one in his mouth and two in his pocket. Why? Because I had to tell him twice. That's who you are. You can't be Satan conscious. You have to be Christ conscious. That's why we can do what we do. Because everyone knows what happened. All the angels know what happened. You know, every creation that God created does what it's told. The only one that argues with him is us. Satan don't even argue with him. That's crazy. So why am I telling you this? Am I telling you this to give you false hope? No, I'm telling you that the hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What happens when you really understand the measure that's been given to you? Like everything that's in you. Like, what do you do with that? You run out of excuses. You can't do anything except what Christ asks you to do. Now, it's a growing process. You're not going to get it immediately. There's just no way. We know that in Scripture because the disciples were with Jesus 3 years. They learned with him. Who has been in the military in here? What would you do, brother? What did you do in the military? Electrician, Navy, brother. Thank you, man. I always honor my men. That wasn't for you, brother, I wouldn't be right here. So you was an electrician in the Navy. When you signed up to the Navy and you wrote your name down, did they give you all the tools? Oh, here you go. Here, go work on this. Why not? Process. When you sign your name and you're a Christian, you are now a soldier of Christ, but you need to be trained. Some of you are still in boot camp. You know who you are. There's a process to this, man. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. And so we say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go be Christ-like. And in the process of doing it, those who do the work will know the doctrine. So as you go, wait, where did that come from? As you go, oh yeah, Jesus said that. As you go, it doesn't say, wait on me, and then I'll let you know when to go. But Pete, don't you need a leading to do these things? I mean, we're led by the Spirit, right? How many people have heard that? You're going to love this one. When God gives you a leading, or when the Holy Spirit gives you a leading, does it line up with Scripture? 20%? 30%? 100%? Are you sure? Are you sure? So why don't we just do Scripture? There's your leading. Only messes come out of butts. Just do it. You don't need a leading. You need a spanking. That's what my pastor used to tell me. But I didn't get a leading. You don't want the kind of leading God would give you. Because if he has to lead you, something's wrong, because he lives in you. So, do you need a leading? You can get a rhema, you can get a word. God will speak to you. But until then, guess what? You're doing God's work. You're doing it. But I don't feel led to do it. You're not a feeler, you're a believer. Believe it. Believe that you're being led. believe that you live by the Spirit. But I don't feel the Spirit. Do you feel saved? This stuff's so simple, guys. I haven't even prayed for anybody yet. And I'm just talking. Imagine living like that, like seeing everything as a win-win. Like, oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's nothing. Oh, yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. Why? Because I'm keeping my eyes on things above. Oh, but, yeah, no, you're down there. That's okay, but I'm up here. Oh, but you're crazy. Life isn't like that. What do you know, man? I mean, you're down there. Oh, you got to get real. I am real. I'm as real as it'll come. I'm as real as I can get. This is who we need to be, guys. And I'm telling you because I'm thinking of you and mine. I want you guys to get this, man. I want you guys to say, hey, you know what? I got every excuse to go do something. And it's the Spirit in you. Like, you didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. Does everybody believe they're going to heaven? Did you know Jesus didn't just die to get you into heaven? He died to get heaven into you. But we don't teach that. Did you know you didn't die because you were a sinner? He died because you're a son. We teach that he died because you're a sinner. Yeah, you were a sinner because of what Adam did, but you're a son first. You were created before the foundations of the world to be a son. You're predestined. We don't teach that. You're a sinner. Yeah, I know that. Keep reminding me. I was in San Francisco, and we went to this church. And they had a homosexual church in the back. I didn't know this, so I would have never used this illustration. I said, imagine you come to church, and everybody in the church is homosexual, and they're, like, really quiet. And I'm kind of like, I usually get people laughing right about now. They told me later on, yeah, the church behind us, homosexual church. I'm like, oh, we need to go over there then. One of the ladies said, I don't care what you say. I was born this way. And I go, you're right, you were born that way. But you can be born again. Ain't that funny? Silly stuff. So I said, imagine you're in church, and everybody in there is a homosexual. Right? I got nothing against homosexuals. Literally, have nothing against homosexuals. I really love homosexuals. I think they're homosexuals because they don't know who they are. If they knew who they were, they'd not be that way. They're listening to the lie. It's not right, but us pushing them away is not right either. We need to draw them in. So I said, imagine the whole congregations, yeah, they're all homosexuals. And we get up and we preach every Sunday to lay down your life of homosexuality. And we do that every Sunday. And finally, one of the guys comes up to the front and he's crying, right? And he comes up here in his dress, comes up here and he's crying and he's just crying and crying. He says, you know what? You're right. I don't want to be a homosexual anymore. I'm not going to be homosexual from this day on. I'm changing. And he changes his clothes and he puts on men's clothes and he stands there and he says, I am no longer a homosexual. I'm putting it down. I'm now straight. And so he comes the next Sunday and he sits right in the front. And the pastor says, you need to stop acting homosexual because you're a homosexual still. And he's like, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I came up Sunday and lay it all out. I'm not a homosexual anymore. He's like, yes, you are. And they do that to him every week. What will happen to him? Now, what if I stand up here every day and call you a sinner? Then by faith, you will be a sinner. You will sin by faith. You need to have more faith in the righteousness in you. And so I tell people, we preach sin so much, and I'm not saying, hear me out. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach Holy Spirit. We need to preach righteousness. That's what we need to preach. We don't have a sin issue. We have an identity crisis. If we knew who we were, we wouldn't deal with that because we know we're dead to that. And we'd just be like, I don't know what that is, but I know what this is. And this is what I am. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm perfect. And that stuff's just going to fall off of me. And this is where the miracles come in. Because you got to have enough of you get out of the way to allow Christ to come out of you. And the problem is, there's just too much of us. Well, I don't want to pray for him, but what if it don't work? What if it does? Well, you know what, Pete? I used to pray for people, but it didn't work, so I stopped. So what you're saying is, you're disobedient with no results. Why don't you be obedient with no results? Let's say I was to preach the gospel in here. I'm doing that now. Okay. So I'm in here, and I give the best sermon. And everybody in here is lost. There's not one Christian in here. There's like 100 people. And I'm preaching my heart out. And it was like the Sermon on the Mount. The heavens open up. Holy Spirit comes. Everybody's like, yeah, cheering. It's like, yes. And then I say, okay, come up here and give your life to Christ. And it gets really quiet. And nobody does it. Do I stop preaching the gospel? Why not? It didn't work. Nobody got saved. I guess it doesn't work anymore. I guess Jesus didn't want to save them. Sounds crazy. Oh, but when we pray for someone and we don't see healing, oh, it ain't God's will to heal them. He must not want to heal them. It didn't work. You see how crazy that sounds? We need to really apply who we are in Christ and not worry about results. We need to worry about who we are. Right? You guys are married, right? You know what will keep you faithful? Is it the ring? Is it the ring that keeps you faithful? Is it the contract that makes him faithful? What makes him faithful to her? Are we recording this? You know what keeps him faithful? The love he has for his wife keeps him faithful. You know what keeps you faithful? The love you have for Jesus will keep you faithful. If you're out there in the world getting lost, it's because you're really not in love with your God. The love that you have between you and your God will keep you faithful. I can't tell you to act right. I can't coach you to act right. I can't make you act right. When you love someone, you'll do it. And when you're in love with somebody, you're in love. There's nothing anybody could do. I've seen kids run away. I've seen people do crazy stuff over love. Like, wow, if you love Jesus like that, we'd be in trouble. Is this stuff making sense, or am I just talking? Is this stuff setting you free? You know what it's doing? It's making you recognize that you haven't been faithful to what's in you. But God's been faithful the whole time. And he has trust and faith in you. He put it in you. And the kingdom of God is within you. You know why you don't see it? Because you're looking for it in everybody else. It's in you. The only way you can see it is if you produce the kingdom of God. If you're looking for it everywhere else, you missed it. It's in you. And you live in it, and you walk in it, and you talk in it. Man, it's beautiful, man. You guys were worshiping, man, I was over here crying. I was bawling, and I didn't even know why. That's the cool thing about it. I'm like, why am I crying? What's going on, God? Why am I feeling like this? I don't know why I was crying. But my spirit did. You know, and I trust what's in me. And you too. Who's got pain in their body? Come here, brother. Ain't this crazy? Like, who is this man? Ain't he embarrassed? No, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Where do you have pain at, bro?
My left arm has been bent. It feels like it's asleep. It's something wrong with my spine. About 2 weeks.
I'm not this evangelist that's going to be like, okay, we need music to play. We need to usher in the spirit. Shh. Keep it down. The Holy Spirit will leave. It won't do what it's supposed to do. It'll run off. Shh. Close your eyes, because if you don't close your eyes, you won't show up. Shh. Close your eyes, everybody. Bow your heads, nobody looking around, because if he sees you, he'll leave. Shh. Jesus was being mobbed all day long. He didn't have a band behind him. I'm just going to put my hand. And turn this way. Turn this way? Yeah. So, don't pray. I say don't pray. I'm going to tell you why. He's been praying the whole time. I ain't done nothing yet. So I'm like, just give me a chance. Let me try. Put yourself in neutral, you know. A lot of people say, when in doubt, pray in tongues. When you're in doubt, you shouldn't even be praying. Have you guys ever heard that saying? When in doubt, pray in tongues. Oh, when you're in doubt, you better even be praying for me. And don't close your eyes. If the disciples would have closed their eyes, it wouldn't even be a New Testament. They would have never saw nothing. They'd have been like, what'd he do? We missed it. Everybody missed it because they were all their eyes closed, nobody looking around. Where's the guy we're praying for? I don't know. Where'd he go? He was blind. Maybe he like walked off and fell off a cliff. Yeah, go ahead and move your arm for me. Can you move your arm? Yeah, it still feels the same? Isn't that cool? Yeah, ain't that cool? Give me five. God is good. This is where the gospel gets fun. I always say, like, I'll get somebody from the crowd and I say, hey, put your hand on them. I'm like, have you ever healed anybody? They're like, no. I said, me neither. God is good. Period. And that's why it happens. Because he's a good God. And I wasn't afraid. I wasn't worried. What if it doesn't happen? Then you better not be preaching, Pete. I believe it in my heart enough to pull somebody up here. And that's what we miss in the churches. We miss the boldness in Christ. There's a boldness that comes when you know who you are in Christ. And no one can take it from you. You have no power to take this from me. Because you didn't give it to me. And no one can take it from you either. And when you're free from them, you're free from yourself. And then you can focus on Jesus. And that's who we are. We're in Christ. I'm not saying we're Jesus. We're saying we're in Christ. When the enemy sees you, he sees Christ. When God sees you, he sees Christ. When you speak, it's the Christ in you. But the enemy will know if you're faking or not. Because did you know that they will know your name once you start doing this? Why? Because they know who to run from. The enemy goes around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. Do you know why he's seeking? Because he can't find you. You're hidden in Christ. He can't devour everybody. He can't devour me. You know why? Because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Come on. Oh, but people could find you. And people could stone you. And persecute you. That's why we need to be dead to the flesh, because if we listen to our flesh, we'll go curse our brothers and condemn them and make them feel like they're not doing anything. And the next thing you know, we're fighting the flesh and we're not getting anything done. And the enemy's sitting over here like this and we're fighting and we're like, oh, that enemy. And he's like, yeah. And you're fighting each other and you're like, oh, the devil, he just won't leave me alone. And the devil's like, I don't even know this cat. Anybody else? Does anybody have pain in their body? No? Yeah, come on. Anybody? You can come up here. Who's the... You guys the youth here? Come here, bro. I'm going to show you something. What's going on?
Tension in my back swings.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, put your hand on his back. Oh, you're wearing purple. It's not going to work today. Yeah, it'll work better if it was pink. Okay. Kingdom 101. Don't worry about it. Don't ever worry about it. Don't ever be intimidated. This is who you are. This is what you've been called to do, to lay hands on the sick. The reason I didn't pray for him is because the Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hey, I believe that. You know what I mean? According to your faith. Let it be unto you. If you believe there's hindrance to healing, guess what? To you, there's hindrance to healing. According to your faith, according to what you believe. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Are you feeling anything in your back?
Fine.
Yeah. Is that hurting?
No.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Awesome. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. But we're not used to this, Pete. This ain't the gospel. How do you know? Because you ain't out here in a white suit hitting people with a jacket. This is silly, this stuff we do, man. You know who I'm talking about. Be hitting everybody and everybody falling. Come on now. Come on. I fall too if you hit me with that. You get a bunch of quarters in there. Guys, this stuff's simple, man. The stuff we put on TV intimidates us. And we think we got to be in this suit. Man, I wore a sweater today. I ain't even changed today. Praise God I'm not praying for you. Because you probably will smell me. God loves you, man. He loves you and he's ready, man. He's been ready. He's just... He's cheering you on, and he's in, and he's like, let's do it. Let's get it. Let's get it going. Come on. We got people out there that are waiting on you and they need to know who you are. They need to know this Jesus that you carry. You know you just prayed for that guy's back. You didn't even pray for him. Ain't that crazy? You were like waiting. Okay, what am I going to do? He's sitting here going, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Okay, what is he going to do? And that's what you're thinking. And it was already done. Well, what do you know? You didn't even do it. I guess the Spirit didn't even did know what it was doing. The Holy Spirit, in Genesis, it says that it was hovering over the waters. Right? It's the Spirit of God. When Lazarus was raised out of the tomb, the Holy Spirit did that. Blind guy, oh, they look like trees. Holy Spirit did that. Tabitha, the little girl, raised from the dead. Holy Spirit did that. Every miracle that you see in Scripture, who did it? So he's a master at it. Who's doing it in you? That takes a lot of pressure off of you. Just agree with him. If two people do not agree, they cannot stand. If you don't agree what's in you, you are not going to stand. You can't even stand on the Word of God. Because you're contradicting everything. And so, if you're thinking you're this way and living this way, and you're trying to do the work of God, it's like, man, I can't use you right now because you don't even, you're not even stable right now. And that's the problem that I think we have in the church, is we don't really know what's true and what's not. You could turn on a radio station and listen to preaching, and they'll talk about one thing, and then 20 minutes later, there'll be somebody else contradicting everything you heard. And then you'll go to one church, and they'll say one thing. You go to another church, they'll say another thing. And you're just like, because I really believe there's a hunger in believers that really want to serve God. They just don't know how. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove all that from you, and I'm going to put it back on you. Because you have the Spirit in you. And if you're being deceived, it's your own fault. Period. It's not your pastor's fault if you backslide. It's not your pastor's fault if you don't show up for church. It's not your pastor's fault if they don't call you to check up on you. It's your fault because it's in you. Think about that. We need to take initiative, man. And look, I'm a man of God. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to do it. And so I want to encourage you guys. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to fellowship with you and have a good time. And say, look, man. You know what the word repent means? Change your mind. What do you mean change your mind? That's not what we teach. We teach that it's wrapped around in sin. We teach that. That can't be true. Because when God was going to destroy the nation of Israel, and Moses told him not to do it, it says that God repented. He changed his mind. Jesus said, repent. John said, repent. Look, in the Old Testament, when they were waiting for the Messiah, he was far off. The Messiah was far away. Then John came and he said, he's near. And then Jesus came and said, the kingdom is here. It's here. Well, what does repent mean? It's not the way you thought it was. It's the way it is now. How do you know? Because Jesus said, you've heard it said this, but I tell you this. That's what repent is. Repent is, don't believe what you used to believe. Believe what I tell you. That's repentance. Change your mind from what you used to the way you are now. You are no longer asking. You are now filled. You are no longer hungry or thirsty. You will never hunger. You will never thirst. Lord, we need you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, he won't forgive you. But the audacity of Paul to say, forgive him because you've already been forgiven. He totally contradicts Jesus. Opposite. You know what the difference is? The cross. Jesus was speaking in the old. Paul's now in the new. He repented. He understands. He sees. He sees this way. We're already forgiven. That's why we forgive. We don't prioritize to be blessed. We are blessed. I don't worship God to receive His Spirit. His Spirit lives in me. That's why I worship God. Big difference. I don't cry out for God. I don't do that anymore. I don't cry out anymore. I go and I cry with the lost. That's what I do. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I see an issue. Let's go fix it. I see an issue. Lord, send someone to fix it. Have you ever seen that? How many have ever done this? And I've done this. Lord, send your Spirit to them. Anybody ever done that? Jesus says, my Spirit lives in you. Get off your booty. Go over there. Lord, send someone. Please. If you love them. This is crazy, guys. But this is who we are. We're crazy. God said go. Jesus said go. So that's what I'm doing. I'm here and I'm shaking you up. I'm shaking your tree. I'm making you really look at stuff. And I want you to go home and say, that stuff he said, it either made sense or it didn't. And I want you to talk to God about it. I want you to say, you know what, Lord? I heard what he had to say. And if it's true, you need to show me. And if it's not true, why are we not seeing the things that we need to be seeing? We've done everything and hear me out. I go to church every Sunday. I have a pastor, just like anybody else. I submit. I do everything that's required of me because I honor my pastor. And you should honor your pastors always because it's going to show who you are in Christ. But hear me out. We've done everything that the churches have given us, and we're left lacking. Why? Either Jesus is lying or we're preaching the wrong gospel. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying you need to preach the gospel. It isn't your pastor's job to preach the gospel. You are the gospel. You don't like the way certain people preach? Don't complain. Be quiet. Go to the corner. Go preach the gospel. You know what? I just didn't agree with what the pastor said. You know, I just, oh, man, you know what? Shut up. Go preach the gospel. Show me how. Everybody's an expert until you ask them to do it. You know what? I just don't agree with that message. Let's go eat pizza. Oh, you know what? Man, everything about that sermon was awesome except this part. Let's go watch the football game. Come on, guys. We don't want no responsibility, man. We want to point the finger at everybody and their mama. You know, they always say when you point the finger, you got three other fingers pointing right back at you. Don't look at the problem. You're the solution. If there's an issue, go fix it. That's that simple. That's why Jesus died. How does an awesome, holy God hug on sinful flesh? He comes in sinful flesh so he can hug on you. That's crazy. You know how mind-boggling that is to me? That Jesus wraps himself in flesh and comes all the way down here and says, now I can hug you. Come here. And you're like, ugh. Ain't that crazy? Have you ever done this as a Christian? You go up to someone and you just say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, oh, I've already prayed. I'm okay. Happened to me all day today. Hey, can I pray for you? Oh, I'm okay. Okay. Oh, I've already got prayer. And you know, the Bible says that we're to pray for each other and with each other. You know? And I just wanted to find somebody to lay hands on that was in pain. And I couldn't find anybody because their pride was in the way. I seen the lady with the cane. She in pain. Hey, you know what? I'm not here to insult you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I really believe that God can heal you right now. I just want to love you. Would you just let me pray with you? I believe right now that God will heal you. And she's like, nah. And I feel like tripping her. You need help to get up? You know, a righteous man falls seven times. It's funny how even though he falls, he's still righteous. A righteous man falls seven times. Even when he falls, he's righteous. Because this is the Jesus in him. Anyways, you said he had pain, brother, right? Could you come here real quick, sir? Awesome. Do you want to do it again? You know what's going to happen. You're going to end up having a healing ministry. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be flying around in a jet hitting people with a jacket. I'm just playing. I'm sorry. What's going on, brother? We're going to tell it to leave, and then we're not going to say, 5 minutes, we're going to be back. Because, you know, when UPS sends you a letter and you sign for it, it's yours.
That's true.
So when you say, it's going to come back, oh, you just signed it. And then you're like, I don't want this. You shouldn't have signed for it. Here, put your hand on it right here. Okay. So now, you prayed for two people. Well, okay. Technically, you prayed for two people, right? I'm just showing you, like, the simplest form ever. Like, you haven't even said a word yet, right? So you can't mess it up. You gotta hold him accountable when I leave. I can't. You did it to two people. I didn't even say nothing. Be quiet. Yeah. This is what's amazing. This is who you are. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just showing you who you are. Does that make sense? I'm going to learn to heal the sick. No, you're just going to really know who you are. And because you know who you are, you do what you were created to do. You do what the Father does. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Right? So that's all you're doing. You're just mimicking. You know, Jesus, look, God sowed a son to reap sons. You're not going to plant an orange tree and get an apple. It's impossible. You know what I mean? You squeeze an orange, what do you get? If you got apple juice. When you squeeze a Christian, you should only get Jesus. If you get anything else, we get squeezed all day long. What comes out of us? Yeah, but. Anyways. So, here's what you do when you pray. Okay, because we've already covered that you don't even need to pray. We just demonstrated that. Okay? You don't ask God to do it, because he asks you to do it. That's like me telling my son, throw the trash. He's like, hey, Dad, can you throw trash? You're tripping. That's your job. But I don't think I could do it. You're about to take all the trash out of the house now. I tell my son that. So take all the pressure off because it's the Spirit in you, right? And so it's clawing its way out of you all the time. It just needs you to agree with it. It's like that light switch. Okay? The light company sends you power to this place. It's already here. If power's not flowing through here, it's not the power company's fault. If power's not flowing through you, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Does that make sense? You've been given all power to flow through you into the kingdom of God. If it's not flowing through you, something's going on. It could be a breaker. It could be the wires. These are like, I don't believe it. You know, I don't think. You know, traditions. I don't believe it. Unbelief. Like all this stuff. So I'm just knocking all that stuff out. How old are you?
15.
He already laid hands on two people and saw results. That's going to change his life forever. Because people tell him, that don't work. He'll be like, dude, you need to be quiet. He'll go tell somebody, and they won't even believe him. That's how radical what just happened. My friend went to court, right, and he lays hands on the sick. And his wife said, Judge, he believes he can heal the sick. Judge said, what? He needs a mental evaluation. But it was true. And so she got what she wanted. But it was true. It just sounds so far-fetched. He thinks he can heal the sick. And everybody laughed. And I was like, they're laughing at me. Because that's what I do. In the name of Jesus. So, this is who you are. And you're going to catch flack for this. Period. But in this right here, you were unlocking rooms. It says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. That's the kingdom. And you just went into another room you ain't never been in. And then you'll go into another room. Prophecy. Dreams. Words of knowledge. You feel that on your skin, dude? You feel that? That's crazy. Dreams. I get dreams all the time. They're cool dreams, too. So here's what we'll do. Here's what you say. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And this is just me. You can do however you want. And you're just amazing. I love you. You know, in the name of Jesus, arm be healed. Pain go. Do as you're told. Be gone right now. Muscles, nerves, tendons be restored. Be healed in Jesus' name. And that's all you do. Now, you're not going to hear thunder. You're not going to see the heavens open up. You're not going to see all that. And if you do, it's cool. Call me because, you know. But that's all you do. And don't ever say it didn't work. Okay? I'm going to tell you why. Who's got keys on the string? You got keys on the string? Who's got keys on the string? That are on the string. Anybody? Are they on the string? There you go. Oh, we got two strings. Okay. This is what happens all the time. plant the seed of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, well, you know, can't move your leg. Oh, it's still there? Darn. Why didn't that work? Where's the seed at? I just took it. Here's the seed. I planted that. It's my faith. Does it make sense? Well, you know, I prayed for so-and-so and it didn't work. Well, that's why it didn't work. Because you got to have faith in it. And when you've done all you can do, you're still supposed to what? Stand. Guys, this is very powerful. Everyone that I've ever prayed for, I never said it didn't work to this day. Because the Bible says that his word will never come back void. And if I speak to things as though they are, that's what they'll be. So every person you pray for, you never say it didn't work. Now you'll say, you know, it says they'll be healed, but it doesn't say when. Some of it says within the hour, as they left. So you can't say when. You know what I mean? So when you pray for someone, you never say it didn't work. Well, I don't know why it's not working. Don't say that. You will never, ever, ever grow because you're constantly saying it didn't work. That's like me saying, I gave my life to Christ, but it didn't work. That's crazy. Does this make sense? That's for anybody who's in here. When you pray for somebody, please don't say it didn't work. If they say it didn't work, say that's fine. It's not his faith that's getting him healed. It's your faith. You're the one praying for him. It says, signs will follow them who believe. If he doesn't believe, but Pete, does he need faith to be healed? If he was Lazarus, we'd be in big, big trouble right now. Okay? Because when you're dead, you don't have faith. How could you ever raise someone from the dead? He didn't have enough faith to get up. You need to muster up some faith. Jesus never even said faith. He said unbelief. He never said faith was the issue. He says, John 14:12, he who believes in me will do the things I did and things greater. And then he put a little tiny exclamation mark down there and he said, oh, only if you have a gift. Only if you have faith. Only if you can believe. He didn't say that. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. And then real small letters. Come on, man. If you just hold on to God's word, it'll drag you into victory, kicking and screaming. I'm serious. That's how powerful his word is. If you just hold on to his word, it'll drag you into victory. I don't even know how I got here, God. How many people have done that? I don't even know how I got here, God. I've been blessed. I've been favored. I don't. You didn't do that to you. The blood did that to you. So did you want to pray again, or is that cool? Okay. Okay, he said it's done, so you know I believe him. Okay, you want to sit down, brother? Okay, all right, man. I love you, man. We'll check in 5 minutes where you're at. If he can do it, but he don't know his word that well. You ain't been saved that long. Praise God, he ain't been saved that long. Because they didn't have to question everything again. The disciples didn't have the Bible, guys. We forget that. Well, you know, you have to do it like this. It's not true. In time as you grow, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to mature and how to deal with people. People can't teach you how to deal with people because everybody's different. Holy Spirit knows what's going on with everybody in here. And he'll let me know. Like, I'll talk to people, and the next thing you know, I'm just kind of like talking about what's going on. That happened today and yesterday and the day before that. You know, talk to people, and words of knowledge just come out. You know, when you speak, how many people in here speak in tongues? Any effort? That's the first gift that comes out. Why? Because it totally bypasses your way of thinking. In fact, if you even think about it, you're in trouble. Healing is the same way. It's the same spirit. Just trust what's in you. Like when you're speaking in tongues, you're like, I don't know what I'm saying, but I know it's saying something. How do you know? I just know. And then you get that argument with your friend that don't believe in speaking in tongues, and you defend it. That should be the same with healing. You know, it's who you are. Does this make sense? Does this make you want to go pray for somebody? I hope so, because I can't pray for everybody. We do this all around the world. We just got back from Thailand. We were there 14 days. And we were ministering to the Chinese. They were smuggling them in from China. I never cried so much. I came up to the front, started teaching, and they had these headsets on. Some guy was translating in Thai, and these had headsets on. I'm like, why do they have these headsets on? They're like, they're from China. And it was like 40 or 50 of them. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And it never even dawned on me. You know, and then we went through the class, and I was outside, and I spoke to this guy who was an evangelist, and I said, hey, what do you do? And he's like, I'm an evangelist. I go, ooh, awesome. I'm like, what do you do? Like, as an evangelist, he says, I smuggle in the Chinese from China. What do you mean smuggle in? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you'll go to prison in China for the gospel. And if you get caught, you'll go to prison for life. That's awesome. You're risking your life to preach the gospel and teach the gospel. Man, I came up to the front that day when I was teaching, I just started crying, man. Because I'm like, I don't feel worthy to be teaching you. Because you could die tomorrow just to come listen to me. And that's just too much for me. And they're like, that's the gospel. And I spoke to one of the Chinese ladies. And I'm like, hey, do you remember this? You remember that? And then the pastor kept telling me, dude, they don't have Bibles. They don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, what? Yeah, they can't go home with the scriptures like you can. They own a Bible, they're going to prison. You see them worshiping? Yeah, they can only do that here, hidden. And I'm like, what is going on? Some of the video that we got, we can't even air. We can't even put it on YouTube because they've got scouts that come into Thailand and they look for the Chinese. And if they see the symbols and stuff on the church, they'll know. They'll say, okay, that's that church. And then they'll know to wait for them. And they'll arrest them. I spoke to one of the ladies that was there. And she was telling me how they had a Bible study and they had a prayer meeting. And it was like 11 o'clock at night. I can't even make to mine at 7 because I got so much going on. These people going out at night, 11 o'clock, under the cloak of darkness, and they're meeting together, and they're under candlelight, and they're preaching the gospel. And she said they had a prayer meeting, and they prayed because one of the people that was in there, God had called them to go into a part of China that they knew that she would never come back. She said, I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'll never see you again. And the mother was telling me that. It was her daughter. That tore me up. And they're praising God saying this stuff. Praise God. She's going to this place that she knows she's going to be arrested or killed. And she will not come back. God told her not to come back. I'll never see her again. And they're praising God. And I'm like, Brooke, man, we missed it, bro. Think about that. That's crazy to me. Forsake all, follow me. Oh, I guess I ain't going to watch the game. Man, that sure is a lot of, I don't know if I can handle it. Hey, but just record it. These people getting in the truck, I was watching them leave. They're all piling into, and they have to go like separate ways. They can't go the same way. And I'm just sitting there. And I just start crying, man. And dude's like, why are you crying? I said, dude, are you even seeing this? Like these are radicals and they don't even know it. And they just love Jesus. And they don't even know the Jesus we know. Like we say, you know, our Jesus gives us freedom and peace and love and all these things. They don't even have that in their country. And we preach a Jesus to them, and they fall in love with this Jesus that our forefathers, like, died for. And we give it to the Chinese, And they fall in love head over heels over this God, and we're over here mocking our God the way we're acting. And I'm like, what's going on, man? The Chinese. Pray for them, guys. And you can't heal the sick? Come on, man. How many people believe they're going to heaven? What if I told you you weren't going to heaven? Would you believe me? You know why? Because we teach that it's all about going to heaven. We need to teach it's all about being like Christ. That's what we need to be teaching. Your identity. Because if you go to heaven and you're struggling here, something's wrong. You're going to go to heaven and be like, you gave me that? I could do. We're here waiting. We're waiting to go with God, and we're waiting to go with Christ. And oh, that day. Well, you know what? That day's now. And it's here. And it's in you. Then you can give people that. Every day of your life. You could be a heaven to somebody. You could find someone, and you could totally love the pants off of them. Now, you know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute. I meant socks. Wait. Yeah. How many people believe they're going to heaven? How many people believe they're going to be with Jesus? How many people believe they're going to be seated next to Jesus? How many people believe they're going to see God and the angels and all the saints and all your family members? And you're going to walk on streets of gold. You're going to be given a crown. Listen to this. What sounds crazier? That or healing the sick? Come on. What sounds crazier? But they're both true. Why can we convince people that all that they're going to get, but we can't convince people that they can heal somebody? It's funny because Jesus showed us through the disciples that it could be done. How many people in the Bible do you see that went to heaven and came back? How many? Just one. Jesus. And he just said that. You're going to heaven. Ooh, we believe it. But he tells you thousands of times, man. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. I don't know if I can do that. If you're questioning whether you can do that, you need to question where you're going to go. Because it's that same spirit that's going to take you. That's deep. That spirit's going to take you to heaven. We got more faith in for it to take us to heaven than to do what it's got to do here. We got to get our thinking right. We got to line up with God. And that's all I'm doing. I want to encourage you. I want you to leave out of here so pumped up, man, that when you see something wrong, you're just like, uh-uh, I ain't having it. I'm trying to stir you up. Am I stirring you up? If I ain't stirring you up, show me how, because I want to learn how to stir you up. You could start right now. You can go out those doors and say, you know what? I'm done. I'm the redeemed, and that's just the way it is. I'm not going to worry about sin. You know why? Because I ain't even thinking about it. I'm too busy being righteous in Christ. I'm too busy thinking about who I am. I'm so God-conscious and so Christ-conscious, I don't see nothing else. Sin, what's that? Oh, that's what got nailed to the cross with my flesh. Go talk to that. You're going to talk to Jesus because Jesus is in me. And all you're going to hear is what Jesus got. And he don't waste time talking about sin. Why? Because he already dealt with sin once and for all. Why is he going to talk to it? God doesn't talk to flesh. You do. Did you know that? God already dealt with flesh. He nailed it to the cross. Don't talk to flesh. Don't listen to that stuff. Oh, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You were a sinner, but now because of grace, you're righteous. This is who you are. Okay? This is who you are. I'm not going to call you a sinner. I'm not. Because I'm not even looking at that. If Jesus looked at that, he would have never came. He saw what was in you and the investment he had in you. He saw all the good in you. That's why he tells you, don't judge people according to the flesh. See them according to the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, they're redeemed and they're perfect and they're flawless. And that's all I can talk to. Because I'm perfect and I can only talk to what's perfect. And what's in you is perfect. And we can relate because of what I've done. But if your mentality is I'm a sinner, by faith, that's what you're going to be. And if you're a sinner, you need to come up here right now and get saved. Yay? That's why he came. So you wouldn't be a sinner anymore. You'd be a son. There's sin in the world, but it's not in you. It's trying to get in you. It's trying to get in you. Because you had the root and the seed of Adam, and Jesus came down and ripped that whole root and seed out of you and swept your house clean. It says that the strong man comes. How can he take unless he ties the strong man up? That's what Jesus did. He tied the strong man up, got rid of him. And then it said that the spirit leaves, right? And then it comes back with what? Did you know your whole walk is those seven messing with you all day long because they can't get in you? Did you know your whole walk is these seven things constantly buffeting you? Sin doesn't come from you. It's in the world around you, trying to get in you. That's what it's doing. And it'll do it through friends, through people, through TV. It's like they're constantly trying to overcome your mind and the way you think, trying to get you to agree with the world, to make you think the way the world thinks, so you can line up with the world. The world can't produce the things of God, guys. It can't. It won't. It can't. It's an enmity against God. That means that while your heart is running towards God, your mind and your flesh is running the other way. That's just the way it is. Does this make sense? Okay. Is this long enough? I think we went long enough. Okay. Okay. You guys want to do a treasure hunt? Look in the mirror. People say, Lord, show me your glory. You are his glory. You want to see it? Look in the mirror. Did you know that? You know, a lot of people say, give God the glory. You know how you give God the glory? They said, Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? Believe him who he has sent. Believe me. You are who you are who I say you are. I want to give God glory. You give God glory by believing what he said about you and living it out. That's how you glorify God. You give him glory by believing what he said about you and living it out. Without faith, it is impossible to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you don't believe what he said about you, you're not in faith. Now, it's easy to believe in faith when everything's going good. It's when you're in trials and stuff starts coming at you and people are saying that you're worthless and that you're not a Christian. That's when faith counts. That's when it rises up and that's what pleases God. When you're in the midst of your mistakes and your problems and you're sitting there and you just feel worthless and everything's going wrong and you say, but Lord, I believe that I'm what you say I am. And he's like, I'm pleased because you believe what I said, even though everything says different. And this is where we function from. We function from what Christ said. And if you don't have enough faith for that, that's fine. Trust in Christ's faith. Because when Christ saw you, he had faith in you. That's why he called you. He's seen what was in you. And he said, I believe what's in him. And his faith called you to him. His faith did that. So just believe Jesus. Look, Jesus, you believed in me. I believe in you. And because you believe in me, I'm cool. Rely on Christ's faith and see what happens. Because that's what's in you. Holy Spirit doesn't come in portion. He comes in person. All of him. Oh, I just need more of your spirit. You tripping. I guess when you die, you're only going to go halfway. You're only going to go halfway to heaven. What happened to Pete? He had a flat on the way. What happened? He didn't have all the spirit. I was wondering why his legs were over here. And does this make sense? Guys, this is like so simple. And when you go out there and you start praying for the sick and you start seeing miracles, like there'll be people in ministry that have been doing ministry their whole life and they'll tell you, that's not true. And you'll just be like, dude, you're tripping. I've been doing this. I know what works and what don't work. I've been doing it. That's what's cool about the gospel. Everyone that says you need a gift, it's funny how they don't have it. Well, you need a gift to do that. But they don't have the gift either. How do they know? They're not even functioning in it. That used to be me. I was a Southern Baptist youth pastor. Well, you got to have a gift for that. What gift you have? I don't know yet. I have the gift of telling you you don't have the gift. Does this make sense? It's like my wife says, you have a comedy act. You're not a Christian. But this stuff is real. That's why we laugh. Because it's so true. Anyways. So I'm going to pray. Does anybody need prayer before I just pray and close it up? Anybody? Anybody, guys? Yeah, brother? Did you want to come up here, please? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Okay? I love you guys, man. I really, really love you guys, man. And I'm so glad you're coming. What's going on? Hey, I know you.
My arms and wrists hurt.
What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, okay. Yeah. Hey, come here. Do you want to lean on this? Okay. What's going on, Tim?
My hands and wrists hurt.
Does it hurt now?
A little cold. It's cold. Blood doesn't get down.
Let me call the healing minister who has the anointing. You've been anointed. You have a mantle. You have a gift. His name is Jesus. Period. Salvation is a gift too, but it's funny how we don't say we need a gift of salvation. Hey, go ahead and pray for him while we're talking. The Bible says that the greatest gift is love. Right? If it's true that you need a gift of healing, then you need the gift of love to love. Do you need the gift of love to love? Do you?
No.
No? So you can just love without it? Ain't that funny? I can't love. Why not? I don't have the gift of love yet. I'm asking for that gift. And when I get it, then you'll get all the love I got. But until then, leave me alone. You know how people say don't pray for patience? Hey, you already have all the patience you need. It's in Christ. It's in you. Don't ask for something you already have. Just agree with it. How'd your wrists feel? They feel weird? Oh, that's cool, man. Did he take your wallet? You didn't take his wallet again, did you? You know how much fun our youth groups would be if we would minister like this? Showing them how fun the gospel is. It's really fun. It's fun, man. Why? Because there's nothing the enemy can do to stop this. And it's contagious. Imagine all the kids would be like, yeah, we're going to come back tomorrow, but we're going to look for people that are sick. And we're going to bring them to church. Why? Because we know they're going to get healed. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Hey.
Your ankle? You what?
You know, I can clean my ankle.
You have an ankle bracelet on?
Yeah.
I'm just playing.
I'm just playing.
Okay, so it hurts right now?
Yeah.
Does it really, really hurt?
Well.
From 1 to 10?
7.
Okay, hey, come on. Yeah, this is really cool. Come over here. No, I'm walking you out, dude, because you're just not listening to me. No, I'm fine. Stand right here. Okay. So, just to show you guys, because a lot of people say, she's getting healed because Pete's next to him. It's the Spirit of God, guys. It's not me. Right? So just stand right there. I do this because he's young, and I'm showing him that the Spirit of God is subject to the prophet, which it'll do what he asked it to do within reason. Right? So I'm going to stand over here because she's going to think it's me. Does your ankle still hurt? Still hurts, though, right? Okay. You're not supposed to do it yet, Holy Spirit. Guys, it's so cool because, like, Holy Spirit is in the room. And the more I remove myself from this, the more you'll understand that it's not me. Okay? That's why I do all this stuff, because I'm really trying to show you that it has nothing to do with me. Because the Holy Spirit's for you. It still hurts a little bit? Just be honest. Huh? Okay. Hey, could you point at her foot and say, pain leave now? Don't lie now. You're in a church. Does it still hurt? No? Praise God. It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Thank you. So, you know what's really cool? I know the power of my purpose. Come here, bro. Come here, man. Stand up here with me, man. I know the power of my purpose, and I know that God wants you to get this more than I do. And so my trust is that he wants you to get it. So everything that I do here, he's going to do. Because I'm giving him opportunity to be who he is. And so as long as we give God opportunity and Holy Spirit opportunity to be who he is, he's going to be who he is, because that's his nature. The problem is we don't allow him to be him, because we have to do things our way. We've been taught to do it this way, and we've been taught to do it that way, and this is the way it happens, and this is the way it works. And if we don't have this set up a certain way, it's like God just wants to be God. You know, have you ever had that friend that has the fake eyes and the fake nails, and it's like, what? You know, that's what we do to the Holy Spirit, man. We dress it up, put a dress on it, you know, and we show something that's not true. And our young guys and women, and they suffer because of it. Because we create something that's untangible. You know, and I'm just showing you that it's really tangible. It's really simple. It's just simplicity that's in Christ. And Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words or the wisdom of men, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should stand in the power of God, not in my ability to show you the power of God. Does that make sense? So what's your name?
Paul.
Paul. Here's what we're going to do, Paul. I'm going to pray for you, because the Bible says that, you know, we should stir up the gifts in people. So I'm going to pray for you, right? I'm not giving you an anointing. I'm not giving you anything that you don't already have. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to pray for you, and you are not to stop. Okay? Don't stop. Because if you do, people around you will suffer. And that's just too much. And then when you do it, your friends will do it. And the next thing you know, you're like, hey, we're going to have Bible study, and everybody wants to go. Because your Bible study is different than everybody else's. Why? Because we actually see God move. And that's amazing. Because we're not even talking about, like, being intimate with God right now. We're just talking about what he's doing. There's places that he'll just lay there and won't even be able to get up. And God will say, you ain't getting up till I tell you. Paul, right? That's an awesome name. I knew a guy named Paul. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. think he's about your height, too. So we're going to pray for Paul. Hey, guys, can you stretch your hands forward? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Paul. Father, I thank that you're showing everyone in this room, Lord, it's not even about me. It's not even about what we thought. It's about you, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all glory. We give you all honor. Lord, I thank you for the ability to be able to speak to your people. I'm humbled by who you are. I'm humbled by what you're doing in your people. Father, let them know, Lord, that I'm not here for me. I'm here for them. And I'm just so grateful, Lord, for them accepting me. I'm only here because you sent me, Lord. So I just thank you for Paul. I just speak to the depths of Paul. And I just command right now in the name of Jesus for there to be a movement in his life that will be so amazing that it will make what I'm doing look crazy compared to what he's doing. Father, I want him to do things that I haven't even done yet. I want him to do miracles that I haven't even seen yet. I want him to go places I've never even gone. Father, I want him to look in the mirror and see something so amazing, Father, that he can't even breathe because it's so amazing. So, Father, I speak to everything that's good in him. And I just command everything that's been in his life that's hindering him. And I just stop time right now. I stop time in the name of Jesus. I take time and I stop it. And I create life that's timeless in Jesus' name. Everything he touches, everything he sees, everything he does will be kingdom from now on. Because you love him. And let him be an awesome teacher, Lord. I'm not putting pressure on him. Okay. I'm just encouraging him. In Jesus' name, amen. He's a great man of God over here. Woo! See, now when I leave, I know somebody will be here. We're supposed to multiply ourselves. So I'm just going to pray, right? And we're going to dismiss. Okay, yeah, awesome. Did you guys get this? I wasn't too obnoxious, was I? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, man. If you don't have fun doing what you're doing, don't do it. Because ministry is not a job. Ministry is who you are in Christ. The minute that you try to get your identity in a ministry, you missed it. It's Jesus in you. It's who you are in Christ. That's your ministry. Don't find a ministry to find purpose. Find Jesus and he'll show you your purpose. Okay? Can we agree? If I've offended anybody in the way I've acted, I'm sorry. I'm just weird. Okay? But I really love you guys and I love doing this. And sister, when this stuff starts breaking loose, you're gonna know what to do. You're gonna know what to do. Just be free in who you are in Christ. Don't let people tell you what Jesus can and can't do in you. Because ultimately, you're the one responsible for what's in you. They're not. Okay? All right? Okay? All right. Lay hands. I'm not saying you have to see them recover. I'm saying just go be the best Jesus you can be. Okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for these amazing people. I thank you for this time, Lord, that they've offered me, this window, Lord, that I've allowed them to see the kingdom of God that's in me. Lord, you're so amazing. I just thank you, Father, for these people. I just thank you that what they've seen today is nothing. What they've seen in me is nothing for what's in them. Let them know that after today, Lord God, they'll have no excuse and that everything they touch, Father, will be different. And everything they see will be different. Holy Spirit, I thank you for protecting my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the angels that take charge around them. I thank you for the peace and love in this place. I thank you for the worship, for the youth, for the leaders. I pray for the pastor that's at home right now. And he's not even going to be sick anymore. You know, like within 2 minutes, he's just going to get up and be like, what just happened? And they'll be like, you should have came to service. Thank you, Father, for who he is. Because you're amazing. Bless them. Love them. Teach them to be your example. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.